And I've got my little pot of pens, which we've put more pens in. So there's more pens to go around. So I'm going to go up and down the aisle. And if you'd like a pen to write notes, or even just to colour in the cartoon, do take one. I'm going to walk down and just smile at me as I walk down. Because I find writing notes incredibly helpful to work out what's going on. So do follow the outline there as we're going through. We're thinking, as William said, about the resurrection. And it's the implications of the fact that Jesus Christ is alive. We've thought about what it meant, past tense, present tense, and today, thinking about the future. But let's ask for God's help as we start. Father, thank you that Jesus is alive. Pray you'd help us to deeply consider the implications of that fact, what it means for our future, and what a difference it makes to us now because of the future. Amen. So what do you think eternal life will be like? Lots of people think heaven will be something like that cartoon that's printed on your sheets there. It's a Gary Larson cartoon. There he is, sitting, floating on a cloud. In the speech bubble, if you can't read it, says, "Wish I'd brought a magazine." You know, it's quite a common thought, isn't it? You know, an airy, fairy, floating existence, nice, classical music being played, as you lie back on some kind of cloud for eternity. And the thought, I think, of that peace and that calm, that tranquility, the rest, the relaxation, I think is quite nice. For about 5 minutes. And then how boring to have an eternity like that. Kind of eternity of nothingness. You know, as a parent of twins, I am knackered, so I like the idea of a little bit of peace and quiet. But it would get very boring very quickly. So some people think it's like that. There's others who think that this life is all there is. You know, when we die, that's it. Our bodies rot, and there's nothing else to it. A few years back, remember the London bus advert? I can't remember which organisation put it on, but an atheist organisation. And on the sides of the bus, it said, "There's probably no God. Now stop worrying and enjoy your life." It doesn't make any difference to the future. Well, the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead proves that idea completely wrong. We don't just die. There is an afterlife. But what is it like? What will eternity be like? As we said, we're in our final week of thinking through the implications of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And the resurrection is a solid, historically verifiable fact. That is really important. Jesus did rise, and it is proven through evidence. If you're not sure of that fact, ask me or someone else afterwards. Because it's true, it makes all the difference in the world. And the implications of someone defeating death are massive. We thought a couple of weeks ago with Sam Albury, the past tense implications of the resurrection mean that all of us who are Christians, we've got nothing to fear. Because of what Jesus has, past tense, achieved for us, it's already happened. We are free from sin. And last week we thought about the present tense implications of the resurrection. And the present tense implication is that God, through his Holy Spirit, is working in us right now, making us more and more like Jesus. He's helping us to stop sinning and to do good. That's the implications of the fact Jesus is the King of all. So we've thought about the past and the present tense implications. But what about the future? Because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, what does our future look like? You know, are we going to spend an eternity wearing really frilly, beautiful white choir robes, singing Gregorian chants, in a blissful existence? Stephen looks like he might enjoy that. What does the Bible say our life is going to be like for Christians in eternity? So if you're a Christian, that's got to be worth 20 minutes of your concentration on a Sunday afternoon. But if you're not a Christian, why should you listen? Well, as we look at what the Bible tells us about the future, I hope you're going to see that it's an amazing future that is promised to all who are Christians. That's all who've put their trust in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Saviour. It's a glorious future. I hope you're going to see something that you'd love to be part of. And the truth is, you can be part of that glorious future that is promised to all who are Christians. The invite to the greatest party ever, eternity with Jesus, is on offer to you. But what does it actually look like? Well, we've got four little points there on your sheet. And firstly, our future will be glorious. Our future will be glorious. Our future will be better than you can possibly imagine. The best life to live now is going to be less good than the life to come. How can I be so sure? Well, the Bible tells me. It's the verse that's printed on the front of your sheets there. So we always have a verse every week. This week's verse, Philippians 1:21. We put it actually on my father's gravestone. To live is Christ, and to die is gain. To live is Christ, and to die is gain. Death is better. Our future eternal life is better than now. Our life now is to Christ, to live is Christ, you know, that's present tense. But death is better. We can live a life now that God designed for us. Our life can be full of joy because we belong to Christ. We can have the great assurance and confidence that this life has meaning and purpose and direction and fulfillment. But however good this life is, the next one will be better. You know, just remember, think about whatever it is for you. It'd be different for each of us. Think about the best possible life you could imagine living now. And in that life, present tense life, can you imagine a life without any upset, with no pain, with no crying? You can't. Our present life will never be like that. However good it might feel, and whatever criteria you judge for a good life, it will have pain and upset. That is a guaranteed fact. Why? Because people we love will die. There will be pain. Every single one of us will die. All of us have a terminal illness. It's called life. And the fatality rate is 100%. But the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead proves that will not always be the case. To ask the question again, you know, can you imagine a life without any upset, with no pain, with no crying? Well, to actually contradict John Lennon in his song Imagine, it's easy if you try. He tried to say it was with denying heaven. But that's only possible. It's easy if you try. It's easy because that is what our future will be. The first reading we had, it's on page 1249 that Sam read, Revelation 21. If you turn that up now, so 1249, Revelation 21. I read from verse 1. So Revelation 21, verse 1, page 1249. It's John, the apostle, writing about the vision he has about the future, what the future will look like. And then so John says, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband." So it's quickly on that. It's actually saying our future will be physical on the new earth, not floating around aimlessly on some cloud. And verse 3, And then John heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God." We're going to be with God, physically, present with him. Verse 4, "He'll wipe away every tear from their eyes. There'll be no more death or mourning or crying or pain. For the old order of things has passed away." He who was seated on the throne said, "I am making everything new." Then he said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." Now, we've just had a description of heaven, of eternity, the new heavens and the new earth. Please realise this isn't some dull, unemotional world. This isn't a future that I think you could describe and, you know, be a bit like living on a blank sheet of white paper. It's not like that. Whereas there's not a complete absence of feeling. There's relationship. There is physicalness. This is a life based on a glorious, deep, personal relationship with God. And I think the start of verse 4, if you look there, I think it's one of the most beautiful lines ever written. It reveals the intimacy of our future with God. It's not just that there'll be no more crying. It's much deeper than that. The truth is that God will have wiped every tear from our eyes. When Helena, my daughter, has been crying, she comes to me sometimes and says, "Wipe away my tears." She wants me to take away her tears. It's a deeply intimate relationship. She wants the pain to go away and the tears to be removed. Now, she wouldn't go up to anyone and just ask them to wipe their tears away. She'd only do that to someone that she trusted, someone she was very close to. It's an intensely intimate thing to do for someone, to wipe their tears away. And our future with God is going to be like that. Our future, it will be glorious. And also our future is guaranteed. Our second bullet there, our future is guaranteed. Our future is a solid, guaranteed hope. Now normally, in our language, when we say hope, it's got a level of speculation. It's a bit speculative. Like, I hope England beats Scotland next week at Twickenham. That kind of hope. Or, I hope the weather will be nice in April when I'm down in Swanage and not being a male model at some fashion show. Those are kind of hopes that we quite often use. But when the Bible uses the word hope, it's not a speculative, will it happen or won't it happen kind of hope. When the Bible uses the word hope about our future, it's solid, guaranteed, definitely going to happen, hope. Our future is guaranteed because it's based on the completed work of Christ. The completed work of Christ is what he did on the cross. If you just flip to the second reading we had, 1 Peter 1, it's on page 1217, the reading that Alex read. 1 Peter chapter 1, on page 1217. And let me read from verse 3. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Peter writes, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he's given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. That inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time." Look at the end of verse 3. A living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. That's guaranteed. Jesus is alive. That's our hope in the future. We've got an inheritance. It'll never perish. It's kept in heaven. It's shielded by God's power. There's nothing more powerful. That's our future. We have a living hope. An inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. When my dad died, I didn't get a lot. I got a watch. This watch. It's quite a cheap watch. It's knackered. It doesn't actually work. It is clearly perishing and spoiling and fading. It has deep sentimental value to me because it's from my dad, but it's useless. It's spoiling. That's my inheritance from my dad. But our future's not like that. Our future is secure. It's shielded by God's power. And that's the same power that caused a dead, stiff corpse to come back to life. That's at work in us. God's power that raised Jesus to life is securing our future. That is why it's a living hope. We have it because Jesus is already there. He is right now, living, breathing, physically in heaven. If Jesus didn't rise from the dead, we have no hope. I know some of you have looked at 1 Corinthians 15 the last few weeks, and it's described, if Jesus didn't rise, we Christians are the most amongst men to be pitied. We're fools if he didn't rise. But Jesus is living. Our living hope in heaven. It's a solid, guaranteed hope because we're in Christ. Those who were last week, we used an illustration about being in a plane. I don't even remember that. If you weren't, I'll explain it, don't worry. The idea was that we got a flight to Nairobi. And if you want to fly to Nairobi, you need to be in the plane. Not following it, holding on to it, being under it, inspired by it. None of those things will get you to Nairobi. The only way you end up in Nairobi is if you're in the plane. Because what happens to the plane happens to you. Being in Christ is the same idea. What happens to Jesus happens to me. If I'm in Christ, I can be confident. Death has no fear. I know because I'm in Christ that my future, eternal life, is a guaranteed reality. Now, to use that plane analogy one more time, I do like that analogy, by the way. We might have a break from it for a little while, but to use the plane analogy one more time. When you get in the plane, you automatically end up where the plane ends up. Now, this works for everyone apart from you. So you're not allowed to listen to this illustration. Tom's a pilot. So even if you really wanted to go somewhere else, when you get in your plane to Nairobi, you'd be powerless to make any difference. You couldn't change where it was flying to. Whatever you wanted to do, the plane's going where the pilot wants it to go, which is why this doesn't work for you. You weren't in my last church when I last used it. But for the rest of us normal people, we get in the plane, we make no difference to its destination. It's going. We can't change its destination. Likewise, the destination for all of us who are in Christ is guaranteed. Christ is already there. That means we know we too will be there. We're in Christ. What happens to Jesus happens to us. But it's not just what Jesus has already done for us that secures our future. We also have this guaranteed hope. Because God the Holy Spirit is living in us as a deposit, guaranteeing our future. Don't look it up now, but Ephesians chapter 1 from verse 13. And let me read from that. So it's Ephesians 1:13. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, so the moment you became a Christian, when you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession. You are marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, a deposit guaranteeing your inheritance. The Holy Spirit guarantees our future. We belong to God, and he marks all that belong to him with a seal, saying, they're mine, they're mine, they're mine. It's the same word, the seal, marked with a seal, that is used when you brand cattle. You know, when you watch Westerns and they heat those irons up in the fire and then, this is my cow. You know, they brand them, they've got a symbol on them. Less painful for us, but that's what God is doing through the Holy Spirit. We are branded, belonging to God, by the Holy Spirit. Securing our future. At the start of every school year, Nikki, entirely, has to mark all of the clothes, the school clothes for Henry and Helena, with a label. You know, the label show that they belong to Henry or Helena. They still manage to lose clothes, but they're kind of there. But in the same way, we are marked by the Holy Spirit. God shows that we're his possessions. We belong to him. He's put his name on us. And because we belong to him, we know that we'll be kept secure forever. It's guaranteed. We have a solid, guaranteed future. And this hope is based on the completed work of Christ and guaranteed by the Holy Spirit living in us. And our future, it's not, as we talked at the start, floating around in some airy-fairy kind of bubble. Our future is not spent in eternity like Casper, the friendly ghost. Our future will be physical. Our future will be physical. Our third bullet there. Jesus rose physically from the dead on that first Easter Sunday. We are in Christ. So what happened to Jesus will happen to us. Therefore, we will physically rise. The Bible is very clear. Our future will be physical as well as spiritual. One other verse, Philippians 3:21. Paul writes, Christ will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. After the resurrection, Jesus was the same, but different. He was the new, improved, glorious Jesus, I suppose you could say. And that'll be the case for us too. Revelation 21, that reading we looked at earlier, it told us that God's eternal kingdom will be on the new earth. His throne room will be on the new earth. And we'll be hit with him in our fantastic physical resurrection bodies. It's not spiritual, airy-fairy glue. It's solid, physical. We'll be forever enjoying that intimate, deep relationship with God himself. That's our guaranteed hope. It's guaranteed. Why? Because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And the reality of that future should make all the difference to our present, to now. Our future transforms our present. Our final bullet point there. So we said our future's guaranteed, it's amazing, and it's all because of what Christ has done. And knowing that is in our future, that means that now, today, we don't need to worry if we're rich enough, popular enough, successful enough, whatever it is enough. We don't need to worry about anything. All we have in this life is temporary. The best we have in this life is like a shadow of our glorious technicolor eternal life. That future, that secure future that we have, that's where our wealth, our comfort, our security, our satisfaction, they're all completely guaranteed for our future. So now we should live a life with that in mind. We should live our life now, preparing, focusing on that future. We should live a life that reflects our one true eternal identity as part of God's family. That doesn't mean we spend our life airy-fairy looking around thinking, oh, I'm going to be over there. We live now looking like we should do for eternity. Our lives transform to reflect increasingly the Lord Jesus Christ. And it reminds us that nothing this world can do, nothing it can throw at us, no pains, no darts, no arrows, nothing can affect, make any difference to our future blessing. Being secure in Christ, trusting in the resurrection, makes all the difference to our lives now. A 4th century hero of the faith, he was called John Chrysostom, great name. In response to threats from Empress Eudoxia, I think that's how you say her name, Eudoxia, something like that. He was up in front of her, the Empress, and she was threatening him. And his response was amazing. So she said, "We'll banish you!" And he said, "You can't. The whole world is my father's house. We'll execute you! You can't. My life is hid with Christ in God. We'll just dispossess you of all you own. You can't. My treasure is in heaven. We'll put you in solitary confinement. You can't. I have a friend from whom you can never separate me. I defy you. There is nothing you can do to me. Which is quite impressive when you're up against an empress. Because of the resurrection, because the resurrection is true, it gives us confidence that Jesus has freed us from death and from sin. We are liberated. The past tense reality of the resurrection. Because the resurrection is true, it assures us that Jesus is working right now, present tense, to help us to stop sinning and to do good. And because the resurrection is true, it means our future is glorious, it's guaranteed, it's physical, and makes all the difference to our lives now. Our lives now is to live is Christ. To live is Christ. That's our job as Christians. To live is Christ. And to die is gain. Do you believe that? And do you live in the light of that fact? Let's pray. Actually, let's have a moment of quiet and then we'll pray. To live is Christ, to die is gain. Father, help us to live for you, knowing that Jesus is alive, ruling all things, the King of heaven, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, who has died to free us from our sin. And we know that is true because of the resurrection. Father, thank you that we know because of the resurrection Jesus is working in us, transforming us through the Holy Spirit, to make us more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ, so that we'd increasingly reflect our true eternal identity. And Father, because the resurrection is true, thank you that means our future is secure and it's guaranteed and it's going to be awesome. Please help us to live now in that fact, to live for Christ, but knowing to die is gain. Amen.